if you believe assault is an act, not an adjective, your safety is not just on the gun, it is the gun. Freedom is a fundamental human right. Welcome to your show, Two-Way Radio with Bill Carnes. What do you believe? Your safety is your responsibility, not the government's, not anybody else's. Be a citizen, not a subject. Better yet, be a listener. Because it's an inalienable right, not a privilege. The Two-Way Radio Show with Bill Carnes is live, right now. Call 1-800-313-9443.
Welcome to Black Friday, everyone. This is Bill Carnes, your host on 2A Radio. Thank you very much, RJ, for another great show. How's everybody doing today, huh? Feeling fat and happy, I hope? I wonder how many of you may have happened to have used any of those recipes put up on 2aradio.com. If so, let me know what you thought. You can send me an email to bill@2aradio.com. I'll call the show today. It's a light show. If you like, the number here, 800-313-9443. Let me know how you did for Thanksgiving. You know, today is Black Friday, which black is being all the retailers are supposed to be in the black. I have my eldest daughter. She is 19 and a half. And she's living in Las Vegas, working at a mall, selling women's shoes at a major retailer. And she had to be to work today at 4:45. A.M. And the interesting thing is my daughter doesn't drive. I started teaching her to drive when she got her learner's permit at 15 and a half years old. And she got her wallet stolen or something. I don't remember what. She no longer had her permit. So I told her, I said, look, it's incumbent upon you to, you know, make sure you study up, get ready for this thing, for this this permit, this test again, and on your schedule let me know and we'll go get this thing. Well, 4 years later it still hasn't happened, so she doesn't drive. She lives a couple miles from work, 2.5-3 miles from work, so she had to get up early, spend $4 on a bus ride to get to work today. And she was out at the house all day yesterday. It was great to see her. Had a great time having her out all day long. And there was my shoulder on my right side, my trap muscle, is absolutely killing me. So driving is not an enjoyable act right now. So she asked me if I could take her home and bring her back, 2-hour round trip. As it turns out, found somebody else that lives in Vegas that has family in Pahrump that was out, that was able to take her back. So thank God she got back at a reasonable hour last night, and I didn't have to do a 2-hour road trip with my shoulder absolutely killing me, and having to lug around turkeys and things such, you know, all that garbage and doing stuff yesterday. I didn't get a chance to put much ice on it, and I certainly used it beyond what it should have been used for, even though I was trying my very best not to. So yours truly is in some serious agony today. No way actually to even sit up in bed in the morning without having a calling to a higher power to bear the pain, to actually sit up. I don't know what the act of sitting up does to your trap, but it hurt. Oh, my God. So, anyhow, yesterday was an excellent day when it came to Thanksgiving. Dave Champion, host of the Dave Champion Show at 3 o'clock Central Time here, Monday through Friday. He was over with his guest and myself, my girlfriend, my daughter. We had a couple other friends that were going to come over. They were not able to make it because they were sick. So just the five of us, and kind of an intimate setting, and it was very nice. And the food was just off the charts. Anyhow, folks, I'd like you to stay tuned. We've got more to come. I'm your host, Bill Carnes, right here on 2A Radio.
Two-Way Radio with Bill Carnes is live. 1-800-313-9443.
And welcome back. So, Thanksgiving is one of my favorite holidays, mainly because of the socialization and the meal. It's that might be very selfish, but the socialization and the meal. One of the things I did with my turkey, and of course you would know the recipe if you went online and you saw the recipe that I put together. One thing that I did this year was one thing I can't stand when you make the bird and on the bottom side it's all kind of fatty and nasty because, you know, quite honestly, I prefer the dark meat. It's juicier and I just like the flavor of it better. And there's a lot of dark meat on the back side of the bird. So what I did was every 20 minutes when I take it out to baste it, I would also flip it over. So it would be breast down and then breast up and then breast down and then breast up. Every 20 minutes I would flip it. And, oh my goodness, did that work out well. That was fantastic. So I may very well on that recipe put that as a recommendation for future use. Just unreal. Also, I don't know if any of you use the Miles Standish stuffing recipe that I put up on the site. Of course, I use that. And Dave Champion, again, he was over. He had never had that kind of stuffing before, and he tasted it. He asked me, what is this stuffing all about? So I told him, and he says, this is one of the more fantastic things I've ever eaten. And my girlfriend, although we've been together for over a year, this is our first Thanksgiving meal together. Last year, I was up in Oregon with my daughter and my oldest daughter and my family, my mom, my sister, and everyone that's up there. And my girlfriend was actually working on Thanksgiving. So this is the first time that she's had my Thanksgiving turkey and also the stuffing and the potatoes and everything. So she was all over the stuffing. She's like, wow. She says, I was really looking forward to dessert. However, that stuffing was fantastic. And then also the same thing with the potatoes. I boiled the potatoes up in a chicken broth rather than water. And I use the, I've said this before, I'm not a tree hugger, but you know, I'll give a tree a high five on the way out. And I like to get more organic type foods. Not a big fan of things with the hormones and the excess just garbage that they put in and chemicals and things. Not a fan of that. So I got some of these, really good. They're russet style, only a little bit smaller organic potatoes. And that's what we used for the potatoes. Boiled them in the Wolfgang Puck roasted organic whatever the hell it was broth, chicken broth. And add a little sour cream, some chives, some butter, a little bit of milk. There was the mashed potatoes. It was the same recipe that was up on the site. Just really, really good, delicious stuff. And one of the things my daughter loves to make, is the sweet potato casserole, which actually is yams in our house because yams are a little sweeter than sweet potatoes. And then she needed the, she loves to put the marshmallows on top. So for visual effect, I got the little colored marshmallows, little mini colored marshmallows, which those things are good too, man. That's like the kid inside of me coming out at Thanksgiving. It's like I just like the idea of those little mini colored marshmallows. Yum. Anyhow, so she made that up, and I got to tell you, even though with five people, we tried to make reasonable-sized portions, we still could have made every portion half or maybe even a third, and it still would have been appropriate, with the exception of dessert. Dessert pretty much went, but everything else, we could easily have gone with a much smaller portion. So I sent some of it home with my daughter, certainly we've got plenty in the fridge, so that's what we'll be eating for several days. And my girlfriend offered to take some of the turkey meat and make some homemade turkey pot pies, which is one of the most delicious things on God's green earth. I love a fantastic turkey pot pie, so looking forward to that. All right, enough about all of the munchies. What's coming up this next 6 weeks or so, 5 weeks, I guess, between now and Christmas, is a whole lot of retail sales. A lot of people just strictly do the online shopping. I'm actually kind of a fan of that. I'm not a big fan of going out in big crowds. I don't much care for big crowds. I don't much care for big crowds in Las Vegas. And, I'm not a fan of the crime that goes on this time of year. Be it shoplifting or whatever. But really, if people are victimized, if they're getting robbed for their stuff, I recall when, I think it was when the Xbox 360 came out 3 or 4 years ago or something. People were literally getting robbed. They were getting jacked in the parking lot for their game systems. A few people around the country got shot. A couple of them were killed. They died for game systems. I don't know what the hot ticket item is this year, but that's just the sort of madness that I like to avoid. This is a time of year where pressures really can go up on people that are having a hard time. And in this economy, it's that much more difficult. This is probably, in my 40 years, going to be, I predict, one of the roughest Christmas seasons in my life, if not the roughest. Not only when it comes to the ability to go out and, get gifts for everyone that's on your list, but for those that know that they cannot get gifts for all those who are on their lists and don't want to look like a heel, that they can't get them. So crime will most likely, in all likelihood, and, history repeats itself and all the indicators are there, is going to be up. So I'm not a huge fan of that. When I do go shopping, I will be packing every second of that. I don't intend to be anyone's victim. Luckily for me, I tend to do most of my stuff online, so I am not going to have to deal with much of that, but I know there's a few things I'm going to have to go get. So the thing is to actually be careful when you're out there. Just plain be careful. Keep your head up. Keep your eyes open. Don't keep everything stuffed with your eyes down into your bag and seeing what's going on. Be careful out there, guys. I mean, really, Christmas shopping should be a very easy, simple, fun sort of an experience. Some people really enjoy it. Other people absolutely dread it. They don't want to have to deal with the crowds. They don't want to have to deal with all the people that are in and out. And they don't honestly want to have to deal with the possibility of having their stuff stolen, being robbed of things that they're buying. So with that in mind, really be aware of your surroundings, what's going on. Dave Champion told me at dinner last night, years ago when he was a teenager, 18, 19 years old, before he joined the Army and got into the Rangers, that he worked at a loss prevention store security at a major retail outlet. And he said there was a lady that he worked with who could pick out shoplifters before they grabbed a thing. She had this sixth sense. She's like, okay, this guy's going to steal something, that guy's going to steal something, that lady's going to steal something, and so is she. These are the shoplifters to watch. And Dave said with astounding accuracy, like 2 out of 3, she was right. Those were the people that they would pick up for shoplifting. So the thing is, if you develop a sense of somebody who is a robber, somebody who might actually try and steal your stuff, they put out those same sorts of motions. So how was this woman so successful in realizing who was going to be a shoplifter? Well, she had tuned her senses into her craft. So the same thing goes when you are in condition, what's referred to as condition yellow of the color code of mental awareness, something put together by the late, great Colonel Jeff Cooper. Condition yellow is when your head is up, your eyes are looking around, you're noticing who's around you and what they're doing. You're able to see if somebody happens to be watching you or if they're just going about their day. So developing condition yellow, being aware of who's around you, if you happen to have seen the same person at the last 2 or 3 stores and maybe they don't have anything that they have shopped for or whatever they have is light in comparison to yours, you notice them facing in your direction, not necessarily being in your presence, but facing your direction. Oftentimes, you're not looking at their back when you see them. Those are different indicators that you need to pay attention to what's going on. So keep that in mind. Whenever you're out and about, be in condition yellow, especially between the store or mall that you're in and your car. That is a really potentially bad place to be. So be very, very aware of that. Some people have decided, you know, I'm not going to buy a whole bunch of stuff at once. I'll, you know, shop at two or three stores, go put it in the car. Shop at two or three stores, go put it in the car. So as to not get bogged down with all the stuff. Well, that just puts you into a position of where somebody might just be breaking into your car to grab your stuff and then rolling out. So six of one, half dozen of the other. Really, just keep a good, solid head on your shoulders. And the take-home message is keep your head on a swivel and recognize everything that you see. And everything should go fine. I would hate for anybody to be out doing some sort of Christmas shopping, other holiday shopping, whatever it is, and someone robs you. They jack. You become their victim. They take whatever you've got. I would hate for that to happen. Keeping your head up, your eyes open, your head on a swivel should help that sort of thing out and pretty much prevent it. Bad guys don't go after people who are aware. Guys, stay tuned. There's more to come after the break. I'm your host, Bill Carnes, on 2A Radio.
Have the alcohol and tobacco. Leave the firearms to us. Right now, the 2A Radio Show with Bill Carnes.
All right, guys, welcome back. So I told you on Wednesday's show that I had spent some time working with Ed Winchester in the field. I overexerted myself in a couple of areas, and one of the things, I gotta tell you, it's absolutely killing me. My right shoulder, my trap. I don't know what I did specifically, or if it was a number of different things added up, but it has essentially rendered my right arm almost useless. Just sheer pain. I'm talking to the point where during the commercials, I feel like just biting a stick. It just plain hurts. And it's one of these never-ending, numbing, dull pains that just absolutely is unrelenting. I can seem to fall asleep just fine and get sleep. But when I wake up to some pretty noticeable pain here. So I am doing my best. I hope that this thing gets better over the weekend. I've got a lot of stuff to get done. But I also know I need to rest this thing. But, man, you ever get that? Like, you just, there's something that is unexpected, and all of a sudden you get some sort of obstacle in your day that lasts for some time, be it a sore muscle or anything. Maybe you're being affected. You've got a bad knee, and it's going to rain, and now you can't walk so well because you know it's going to rain, and your knee's flaring up. I got to tell you, very, very, very distracting. And for a guy that I don't sit around much, I like to get stuff done. And, man, it's just plain a problem. As a matter of fact, it's a problem washing my hair in the shower. I get to use my left hand, and I'm not very left-hand adaptive. The one thing, however, that I am pretty competent with my left hand, is shooting a handgun. So while my shoulder is repairing, I do keep left-handed holsters. I have practiced left-handed plenty. I do some dry practice with my left hand. So while my shoulder is in disrepair, while it's trying to get better, I will be carrying a Glock on my left side. I normally carry a 1911 or a Glock on my right side. My 1911, I do not have the ambidextrous thumb safety. I am just, on my own personal guns, I don't much care for the ambi safety. That's just me. I guess I don't like that safety coming down and rubbing across the top of my trigger finger, whatever it is. I'm not a fan of it. When it comes to teaching and having students, I like the ambi safety because I can see if it's on or if it's off. It's real easy to tell. Dave Champion, on all of his 1911s, he has, I believe, the Wilson Combat ambidextrous thumb safety. And if he gets a 1911 and it doesn't have that safety on there, he orders it to have it put on there. So Dave is exactly the opposite on the 19. We both like 1911s. He really, really digs the ambidextrous thumb safety, and he prefers the one out of Wilson. I'm not a fan on my own gun. So on my 1911s, I don't have ambi safeties on there. However, if I did, then I could efficiently run the 1911. If you are left-handed and you are going to run a 1911, an ambi safety is an absolute must. There is no option about it. Some people, well, you can get the trigger finger up there and take it off and then run it. That is not the way the gun is to be run. If you're left-handed and you're running a 1911, the ambidextrous thumb safety, the one that's on each side of the gun, is a must, an absolute must. If you're a left-handed shooter without an ambi thumb safety, you're not running the gun properly. So get an ambi thumb safety. If you're going to get a 1911 and you're left-handed, either get one with the ambi safety or get one installed. I'm a big Ed Brown fan when it comes to thumb safeties. My 1911s all have Ed Browns. Dave Champion goes with the Wilson Combat. As a matter of fact, it's interesting. He has a Wilson Combat ambidextrous thumb safety that he had installed on a Nighthawk. And the company Nighthawk is actually the people that started Nighthawk used to work for Bill Wilson at Wilson Combat. So they're both on this in the same small Arkansas town. I understand they're on opposite sides of town, but to do that it would almost be like putting a Ford carburetor on top of a Chevy 350. It's like, whoa, that's just something you don't want to do. You don't want to mix those steels. But anyhow, Dave, like I, it's like, you know what you want. You know it works. So that's what you're going to have. And you're going to have anybody else tell you no. So that's just the way it is. 1911s oftentimes are a lot like a tattoo. They're very personal and they mean something to you. But in other areas of a tattoo, some people see, oh, hey, that's kind of a badass skull and crossbone tattoo with whatever it says in it. I want to go get one like that. I'm going to pick a tattoo off the wall. Okay. Well, to each his own. Some people want to make sure if they get a 1911, it has to have the light rail. It has to be like the Kimber Desert Warrior with the light rail and all the other cool stuff because that's really neat. You know what? Once you get into 1911s and learning a little bit about them, you'll develop your own opinion of what you really want, but you may go through a couple of guns to do it. So just don't go too crazy on your first gun or two. Just be a little bit easy on yourself. All right, guys, stay tuned. More to come after the break. I'm your host, Bill Carnes, on 2A Radio.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.
Gun control, loved by dictators since 1917. The 2A Radio Show with Bill Carnes is back. 1-800-313-9443.
So, folks, many of you might remember the Merzick, Alabama. And the Merzick, Alabama is it's a cargo ship that was hijacked in March of this year. And then on April 1st of this year, the U.S. Navy had some of their snipers out there, and they took the ship back, and then they rescued the captain of the ship, who was being held hostage on a powerless dinghy. So that happened in March. Now, about a week ago, they tried to hijack this same ship again. Obviously a different group, because the others that successfully hijacked it the first time, which, it's interesting. When it was hijacked in March, it was the first time since the 1800s that a U.S.-flagged ship was successfully hijacked. So we're talking a long time of no U.S. ships being hijacked like that. The ship, it's only about 11 years old. It was launched in 98. It was under the flag of Denmark for a few years. And then in 04, it became a flag under the U.S. From a company out of Norfolk, Virginia. I think it was Waterman Steamship, I believe, is the company that it's flagged under. But about a week ago, they tried to hijack this ship again. It's not that big of a ship. I mean, for a cargo ship. It's a little over 500 feet long. It's got a couple of cranes on it. It's not the biggest ship in the world, but it's still a good-sized ship. And Somali pirates attacked it a week ago Wednesday for the second time in 7 months. However, they were thwarted by private guards on board who fired off guns and high-decibel noise devices. What's happened now is a lot of different companies, shipping companies, have had their own security forces on these ships to repel these attempted hijackings. Here's a story. It comes from Associated Press. A U.S. surveillance plane was monitoring the ship as it continued to its destination on the Kenyan coast, while a pirate said the captain of the ship hijacked on Monday, the Monday before, this is now about 10, 11 days ago, with 28 North Korean crew members on board, had died of wounds that he had suffered at the hands of the hijackers. Pirates hijacked the Marzick, Alabama last April, actually it was March, and took ship captain Richard Phillips hostage, holding him at gunpoint in a lifeboat for 5 days. Navy SEAL sharpshooters freed Phillips while killing three pirates in a daring nighttime attack. Now, the really, really cool part of that coordinated sniper effort was they had three different sniper/designated marksman, whatever you want to call them. Designated marksman is the new PC term for sniper. I'll call him a sniper because I'm not the most PC kind of guy. If you've listened to the show at all, you'll know that. So they have three different snipers. All of them have their own target. And they have a timed, coordinated, synchronized time to fire, where all three of those hostage takers got shot, one each by a different sniper, all simultaneously. So, boom, boom, boom. And all those hostages are dead. Great. They're done. No longer a threat. The captain's in good shape. And he's rescued. So, awesome job to the Navy SEALs. Continue with this story. Four suspected pirates in a skiff attacked the ship again this last Wednesday, a week ago, around 6:30 a.m. local time, firing on the ship with automatic weapons from about 300 yards away. And that comes from a statement from the U.S. 5th Fleet in Bahrain. An onboard security team repelled the attack by using evasive maneuvers, small arms fire, and a long-range acoustic device which can beam ear-splitting alarm tones, according to the fleet. I've got to tell you, this long-range acoustical device, that's a pretty neat tool. It's one of those things where if you're deaf as a post, you'll be affected by this. I mean, this just rattles the bones in the eardrum. You want to get away from that. And the only way to get away from that is to go in the opposite direction, just plain get away. So they have those on cruise ships, in that area as well, on a number of the different cruise ships. And sometimes that's the only thing they keep. Other cruise ships will also be able to hook up, high-powered water hoses, like fire hoses, to be able to spray down, but that's if they don't want to have guns. Maybe the cruise ships don't want to have their passengers subject to potential death and mayhem if they have armed security on these cruise ships. I'm of a different opinion, but that's just because I'm more pro-gun than the average guy. Vice Admiral Bill Gortney of the U.S. Naval Forces Central Command said that the Marsic, Alabama had followed the maritime industry's, quote, best practices in having a security team on board. He says this is a great example of how merchant mariners can take proactive action to prevent being attacked and why we recommend that ships follow industry best practices if they're in high-risk areas, according to this admiral, Vice Admiral. So, Vice Admiral's pretty high up there. That is a three-star admiral. So, with that being said, they're pro these ships being out there in, you know, volatile waters, dangerous waters, with armed security in order to help them out. Basically being able to protect themselves. The crew has stuff to do, so they pay these guys to otherwise protect the ship from the ship. So that's protecting the ship itself, the cargo, the people that are on it. Because the U.S. Navy can't always be there. So I wonder, why is it that with the police not always able to be there for you and I, and they're under no obligation to have to protect us, as the U.S. Navy is under no particular obligation to have to protect any single ship. Why is it that the Navy, who's assuming this role of protecting these U.S. flagships, has said, hey, we like the idea of these guys having armed guys on the ship to protect them for security. Why is it that on an individual basis, we don't have the police saying, yeah, we like the idea of the citizenry being armed in order to protect themselves if something just pops up? Interesting. Continuing with the story. Let's see. This guy, Roger Middleton, a piracy expert at the London-based think tank Chatham House, said the international maritime community was still, quote, solidly against armed guards aboard vessels at sea, but that American ships have taken a different line than the rest of the international community. Shipping companies are still pretty much overwhelmingly opposed to the idea of armed guards, Middleton said. Lots of private security companies employ people who don't have maritime experience. Also, there's the idea that it's responsibility of states and navies to provide security, and I would think it's a step backwards if we start privatizing security of the shipping trade. That's what this British ninny said. Basically, yeah, we don't think that these guys should have guns. We should be able to provide it on a larger global basis. All right, British ninny, tell me how that's worked on the streets of London. All right, British ninny, tell me how you're supposed to get an armed ship or an armada of armed ships to guard your armada of British flagships throughout the world. Are you going to provide a ship at the Queen's expense to guard every merchant vessel flying the British flag or sailing in British waters? I don't think so, British ninny. So, we've seen that this sort of thing doesn't work in your own country on land. Why, British ninny, do you believe that this should work in the seas? When we're talking, what, 60-65%? Of planet Earth is covered by water, you're now going to be able to take the same British ninny philosophy on your little cold, wet rock and expand that to all of the seas of all of the world for all of the British flagships, British ninny? I don't think so. A Massachusetts Maritime Academy professor, who is also the father of a sailor who was on the Marsic, Alabama, during the first attack this last spring, said about 20% of the ships off East Africa are armed. 1 in 5. Not bad. Now, I would like it if 1 in 5 Americans were armed. I fear that it's not even close to that. It's probably more like 1 in 100 or 1 in 50, maybe. Probably far less, considering that a lot of people in huge cities don't go armed. And part of that's because of the laws, such as in L.A. and New York and Chicago. They're mandated that, hey, your rights to be able to protect yourself don't exist in these city limits. I'm really waiting for this Chicago case at the Supreme Court level. The owners of the Marzick, Alabama, have spent a considerable amount of time and money since April, since the April hijacking, to make the vessel pirate-proof, they say, including structural features and safety equipment. The most dramatic change is what they called a security force of highly trained ex-military personnel. So here's the thing. If you're actually a member of that security force, these are the type of guys that you do not want to mess with. Other people might refer to them as mercenaries or soldiers of fortune. What they're doing is they are providing security. They happen to have a particular set of skills which you do not want to be on the business end of in an adversarial role. So although these guys probably don't do much very often, in the rare occasion where they might actually have to pop their heads up and repel an attack, they're going to get her done. Somali pirates understand one thing and one thing only, and that's force, according to Captain Joseph Murphy, who teaches maritime security at the school that was, the Massachusetts Maritime Academy. They analyze risk very carefully, and when risk is too high, they're going to step back. They're not going to jeopardize themselves. Well, that's very true. That's true with any of these pansies who are out there that commit crimes against people. They look for the weaker gazelle. Not the strong gazelle leading the pack, the weak gazelle falling behind. They look for the easier prey, the easier meal. And of course, that's going to be in shipping. That's going to be out on the streets of America. That's going to be out in the field. It's going to be anywhere. The ones who are the hunters look for the weakest to be hunted. The wife of the Marzick, Alabama's captain, Paul Rockford, told WBZ-AM radio in Boston that she was really happy that there were weapons on board for this attack. It probably surprised the pirates. They were probably shocked, said Kimberly Rockford. I'm really happy. At least it didn't turn out like last time. A self-proclaimed pirate told the Associated Press from the Somali pirate town of, Somalia, that colleagues out at sea had called around 9 a.m., 2.5 hours after the attack. They told us they got in trouble with an American ship, then we lost them. We've been trying to locate them since, said a self-proclaimed pirate who would give his name only as Abdir Noor. A U.S. Navy P-3 surveillance aircraft, quote, is monitoring Marzick, Alabama, and his good voice communication with the vessel, said Lieutenant Nathan Christensen, a Bahrainian-based spokesman for the 5th Fleet. The ship was heading from the Kenyan port town of Mombasa. The crew and the captain are safe, said a spokeswoman for the Marzick Line Limited in Norfolk, Virginia. The appropriate security measures were taken. That's the main thing. Everyone is safe. So, that is something all I have to say to is right on. You know, when all of these attacks were really starting to make the news last spring, early in the spring, late in the fall, I had 3 or 4 different colleagues get a hold of me and say, hey, you know, maybe we should look at putting together some kind of a group to be able to provide security for these ships out in international waters. And I told them, day late and a dollar short, guys. It's already going on. They already have people in there. Matter of fact, there is a company that I'm familiar with that is a very, very, how do I put this? Kind of cloaked. The company is there. They do quite a bit of work, but it's not like a Blackwater or Triple Canopy or, Dynatech or anything like that. They're not one of these really big named out there known companies. They're very, very subtle. They're good size and they're very, very subtle. And it just so happens that they're in the process of looking for designated marksman security for various different installations. Some are fixed installations overseas, and some of them are floating installations up and down the East African coast. And they're looking for somebody that can basically be a sniper security if somebody launches some sort of an attack. So, curiously enough, with my background, I've actually started looking into that. That might be something good for me right now, being as how the economy is the way it is. Money is very tight, and I could probably stand a little bit of travel at my in my life right now. So anyhow, I might actually look into that, see what's up. That might be kind of an adventure that yours truly would really be interested in. So we'll see. The question now is, if we get some other American ships, or does it really matter what country that their flag is flying under, what they're sailing under, that are able to repel more pirates with the same sort of technology? If this British ninny, Roger Middleton, this shipping expert in England, jolly old England, if he would then maybe change his tune if they saw that these armed security were actually repelling the attacks as were designed. So we'll see. Just, I don't know, once in any, always in any. Stay tuned, guys. More to come after the break. I'll be right back.
Your right to listen and take action shall not be infringed. The 2A Radio Show with Bill Barnes is back.
Back off, I'll take you on. Heads on to take on anyone. I know that you are wrong if this is not where you belong.
All right, folks, I want to let you know a little bit about a Thanksgiving tragedy that happened in Florida. Now, keep in mind, Florida is a pretty pro-gun state. But three women and a child in bed were shot to death during a family Thanksgiving gathering, and a manhunt is underway in Florida for the male relative suspect in the slayings. Now, this is one of the most reprehensible types of reprehensible people to perpetrate some sort of an effect like this. You go and you're killing three women and a child celebrating their own Thanksgiving. For whatever reason, you're not there, and I'm sure it's a good reason, and I can understand somebody being ticked, but they actually go to commit murder on this, which should be an extended sort of, almost an immediate punishment for anybody that would ever perpetrate something like this. So the reason, this is on foxnews.com, you can certainly look it up. The reason I bring this up is this is not the last holiday. There are certainly more coming. The biggest one coming up is Christmas. If by chance you happen to have any extended family member or former family member, someone who has an ex-boyfriend or ex-girlfriend or ex-husband or ex-wife or something like that, it seems to be a little on edge, a little unstable, maybe a little more aggressive than they should ought to be, do your very, very best to try and get that sort of thing smoothed out in the next month or so. If you know any others, friends, other family members, anything like that, colleagues that might be experiencing something like that, you're hearing their stories, please do what they can to try and get things somewhat handled between now and then. And if not, if it's still one of those things you're not really sure if it's going down or not, then one of the suggestions that I've got for you here is to, wherever the family gathering is going to be, wherever it traditionally is, change it and keep it quiet. because nobody, we all know that this sort of thing happens. This might not be the only Thanksgiving shooting that happened. Certainly when we have Christmas parties and family get-togethers, it doesn't even have to be on Christmas Day, sometimes Christmas Eve, sometimes it's a company party and disgruntled former employees show up, whatever it is, if it happens to be a business-related thing, my suggestion is do your very best to get some kind of security there. I'd like to close by saying, to those of you within our government, we will be watching you. In Congress, the executive and judicial branches all very closely as we organize to save our freedom, liberty, and country. We will not become the subjects of governmental rule. Thanks for staying tuned in today. I'll be back on Monday. Stay tuned for the Global Research Hour coming up next.
Bill will be here tomorrow. Will your freedoms? The 2A Radio Show, 7 a.m. Pacific, 9 Central, Monday through Friday.